Oh, the rocking chair. So many memories, so many different people have with a rocking chair. Maybe you remember grandma and grandpa sitting out on the front porch, watching the kids play out in the, no, not in the road, in the backyard, in the rocking chair. Maybe you remember going to Cracker Barrel and seeing all the people lined up in the rocking chair. Maybe the nice spring, sunny day, cool breeze blowing through, enjoying the rocking chair. So many memories, but I got to tell you, I have a memory of rocking chairs and a thought that comes to mind every time I think of a rocking chair that just isn't pleasant. So I don't spend much time in a rocking chair. To me, a rocking chair just reminds me of things to worry about. It reminds me of worry in general. Like, a rocking chair has so much in common with worry. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome to Crossroads Community Church. If you're joining us for the first time in a while, either way, we're right in the middle of a series. A series is where we take some context from the Bible, either a topic or a section of the Bible, and we break it down over a period of time, and we teach directly from what the Bible says. So in this series, we're talking about not normal. You know, we live in a time where worry is completely expected and normal. Like, everyone worries. You know, there's lots of things to worry about. I mean, every day the news fills us with different topics to worry about, with different concerns to worry about. When can I get out of my house? How long until I can get out of my house? Once I get out of my house, how long can I stay? How many people can I be with? When can I see my friends? When can I see my extended family? You know, I had a job, and now I'm not sure I'll have a job when I come back, or I've got a job, but I'm not currently working as much as I was, and my finances are causing me to worry, or will I be able to retire when I wanted to retire, or is retirement even an option anymore? I mean, there's just so many things to worry about. Where will I go to school this fall? Will I get to go to school this fall? Am I going to start my college years on a computer? There's so many things to worry about. And as followers of Christ, like, we're not supposed to worry. I mean, Jesus made worry real clear. Matthew wrote it down for us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus says, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. And then he explained. And then Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, he says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Like, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. You know, worry reminds me a lot of a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets nothing accomplished. Worry, like a rocking chair, it gives you something to occupy your time, but you don't go anywhere. You're just there. And worry often does the same thing. So as Christians, you know, as good Christian folks, we like to take what the Bible says not to do and just rephrase it so we don't feel so bad about doing it. So we say, I'm not worried, I'm just deeply concerned. And we make it sound all serious, and we make it sound all real. And in a time where everyone in our world, like probably never before, has reasons to worry, we say, well, if everybody else is worried, it must not be that big a deal. In everywhere, in a time where there's so many circumstances that have shifted and changed and morphed, like, worry can't really be that big a deal. But listen, worry, it does some crazy things. In fact, worry actually reveals truths to us in some ways. Things that we worry about, they reveal what we value the most. Like, if we value something and we worry about it, it kind of proves to us, yeah, you really do value that. I mean, there's lots of truth in that. I mean, if we value security, if we value safety, if we value a place to live, a shelter over our head, then we worry about things like our job and how we are going to provide to keep those things. Like, we worry about security, so we lock doors and we put home monitoring systems on, and we worry about safety of our family. You know, I thought I had a pretty good handle on worry for a long time. And then about 6 months ago, my oldest daughter, she got her driver's license. And now I experience worry like never before. I mean, you might as well call me Sir William Worries a Lot. I mean, there's so many opportunities to worry, yet Jesus tells us, like, why? Why would you worry? It doesn't do anything. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it accomplishes nothing. You know, worry, it shows us even more than just that. What worry also reveals to us is where we trust God the least. That stings a little bit. Where we worry reveals where we trust God the least. That hurts. That stings. You know, worry might be normal, but God instructs us to not be normal in so many ways. God says, I want you to have peace, and you can't have peace when you're worried. I heard worry defined like this. Worry is the sin of distrusting the promises and the power of God. Now, I'm not saying that to make you feel bad when you worry. I've told you, I've got plenty of times in my life where I worry. And I'm not saying that to make you think like, oh man, I'm defeated and I can never overcome and then take away hope from you. I just want us to think about the seriousness of what worry really is, what worry communicates to our God, the fight that worry brings into our faith, and where worry really and truly is defeated in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. You know, the worry is this time and in this period and this circumstance that we're all going through. Worry is the normal. And Jesus says, I don't want you to be normal. In fact, I want you to have peace. So I have a question for you today, and I want you maybe to wrestle with this if you've never thought about it before. But what about instead of considering worry to be necessary or considering worry to be normal, what if we just considered worry to be a perspective? Worry is really just a matter of our own perspective. Every summer, we take a group of high school students to Guatemala, and we go serve in an orphanage down there. And for many students, you know, this is the first time getting out of the state or maybe out of the country. Or for several students, it's always the first time getting on an airplane. 3 years ago, we took this trip, and there was a pretty large number of people, especially students and even some parents that went with us, who'd never been on an airplane before. And that's always a crazy experience. You know, you can talk about it, but until you experience an airplane, like, you really don't understand what it is. And we're in this one particular flight, and it's, you know, a normal flight for me, but I'm not a world traveler by any means, but I've been in the air enough times to know kind of what to expect. And the pilot comes on, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have your attention. We've turned on the fastened seatbelt sights. If you would please, everyone, be seated. Flight attendants, find your seats. Buckle in. We're expecting some turbulence. So I begin to look around the room as the plane starts to shake and as it does in turbulence. And you know, you can real quickly, like, pick out the people who have been on a plane before. You know, this one lady's over here just thumbing through her catalog, headphones in. She's shaking, trying to read, so she's trying real hard to hold it still, but it's not phasing her at all. And then over here, you've got the people that are like, my face is telling you that I'm okay, but my hands clenched on the armrest and my grip is just ridiculously tight. Like, they're letting you know, like, I'm just putting on a front. I'm a little bit nervous. And as I scan around the room, I see this one particular section of people from our team. And most of them are students who had never been on a plane before and a couple parents who had never been on a plane before. And I had no intention of laughing at them at first. And man, they started screaming. The plane took a drop, and it felt like you dropped about 37,000 feet. I mean, they're, this is terrible. And this wasn't my finest pastoral moment, but I was laughing. I want to say with them, but they weren't laughing, so I can't really say that. They were just falling apart. Worry was an understatement. We're all going to die. We're not going to make it. We're never going to make it to Guatemala. This is going to be a terrible experience. Why did I get on a plane? Second-guessing life. Maybe God will hear my prayers because I'm 37,000 feet closer to it. I mean, there was just so many concerns going through their head. And when I finally composed myself from my giggling, it hit me. Like, I got nothing to worry about. I'm at peace right now. Because this wasn't my first time on a plane. This wasn't my first time experiencing high levels of turbulence. You know, this wasn't my first time to be in this situation. And then I know that I had some things I could depend on. I had some trust that I could extend, and that trust, it gave me peace in the moment. I mean, here's people in the same experience as me, in the same circumstance as me, in the same location as me. I mean, they were literally one row up and two chairs over, just melting down with worry, and I was just at peace. The difference being that I knew that the pilots knew what they were doing, and I trusted that they had trained for turbulence before. And I could remember all the times where I'd been on a plane and God had saw me through to the end, regardless of the experience or the circumstance that I encountered. What if worry was really just a matter of our perspective? What if we could take control of our worry by shifting our perspective? When it's normal for everyone else to worry, God wants us to have peace. Paul, one of the great Bible writers, Paul had been traveling around the known world and preaching the gospel, preaching the good news of Jesus. And in some areas, he just wasn't supposed to do that. But Paul wasn't stopping with that. Paul wasn't going to let that bother him. So he continued to preach. And several times, Paul would get arrested. This one particular time, Paul's in Rome, and he gets arrested. And he's locked down. He's actually in house arrest. Now, house arrest back then was a little bit different than it is now. Instead of having, like, an ankle monitor, you had your ankle actually chained to a prison guard 24 hours a day. I mean, can you imagine, like, it gives a whole new meaning to bringing your work home. Like, honey, I brought my work home. He looks hungry this time. Like, man, that'd be a terrible job to have to drag these prisoners around. But Paul's on house arrest, and he goes from guard to guard. And Paul, while having nothing else to do, I mean, you can only preach to this prison guard and his family so many times, Paul starts to write letters. And he writes this one particular letter to the church in Philippi, and he gives them some great thank you, some great instruction.
And while arrested, under house arrest, awaiting a sentencing for doing what he knows God has called him to do, Paul writes this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. I mean, the humility of Paul is just amazing to me. Like, if I was Paul, I'd be like, dear church, I am currently shackled to, I believe his name, prison guard Marcus. Not a very pleasant guy, smells a little bit, and I'm stuck here. But hey, enjoy your freedom. Don't worry about anything. No, Paul just simply says, don't worry about anything, and instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank him for all he has done. You know, I love that Paul simplifies it. Like, that's such a simple formula to take and move from worry to peace. So Paul explains, and he gives us a couple points I'd like to give you today. Number one, my worry gets smaller when God gets bigger. Now, stop, pause. I'm not saying that God changes in size. I'm not saying that God can be big today and small tomorrow. What I'm saying is that our perspective of God is continually shifting. I'm saying that we make God big to us, or we sometimes we minimize God to us. How we see God, our perspective of God, it changes. When my focus is on the things that I'm worried about, when my focus is on things like, I don't know if I can protect my family, and I got to do my best to protect my family, and I'm just so worried about them. What if they get sick? What if they get lost? What if they get hurt? I start to worry, and when I worry about things, I make God smaller, and I make my problems bigger. Well, I'm worried about my health right now. I mean, this is a big time to worry about our health. I'm concerned about my health, rightfully so. This is a concerning time about our health. And when I inflate my problems, I make God smaller. Paul says, listen, when you make God bigger, your problems get smaller. My worry gets smaller when I make God bigger. So Paul acknowledges, like, listen, we understand there's always going to be circumstances, situations, and scenarios where you have the opportunity to worry. But God is bigger than those scenarios, those situations, and those circumstances. When we focus on God, when our perspective is, my God is big, man, my God is great. My God has come through every time. And God gets bigger, and my circumstances, my problems, my ability to worry, it gets smaller. He says, I recognize that. Like, recognize, hey, I'm feeling kind of worried right now, and then tell God what you need. God, right now, I need some peace about this. God, I'm feeling anxiety about this, and I need your peace about this. God, I need your peace right now when I think about my finances. God, right now, I need you to remind me that you got this, that this isn't a surprise to you, that you saw this coming, that you knew the plans you have for me, and they haven't changed because something else has popped up. God, I need you to remind me that you know all things. God, I need reassurance, and you tell God what you need. God, I need you to help me trust you better. God, this is what I need right now. Then he says, and then thank God for all that he's done. Thank God before he's even doing what you ask him to fulfill right now. Thank God, even though you just gave him the need and he probably hasn't answered your prayer quite yet, thank him anyway. And here's the reason why I thought this was cool. Here's the reason why turbulence for me wasn't a problem and isn't a problem, because I can remember all the other times where I was on a plane and there was some nasty turbulence, but everything worked out. God still had a plan. God still delivered us to where we were going, where he called us to go. God had come through for me, and I could remember that. And when I could remember that, I didn't need to worry. I didn't have to worry. Paul sneaks this huge key into conquering worry into this compound sentence. When worry enters our mind, start thanking God for all that he has done. When you start focusing on, your perspective shifts from, oh man, what's going to happen, to, God, you have been so good. Quickly, worry will run out of real estate. We replace the worry with, God, thank you for this. Thank you for this. God, thank you for being so big and so present in my life. God, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being steadfast. Thank you for being a loving and caring God who is just and right with me. And God, thank you for putting me in a place where I can experience you and know you. And worry quickly has no place to go. When my perspective changes on how big, how great, how magnificent, how loving and caring and forgiving God is, worry quickly diminishes. And then Paul goes on in verse 7 to say this. Here's what will happen. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. How great is this peace? It can exceed anything that you understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. in Christ Jesus. Like, what does that even mean? What does that even, like, sometimes we think, like, how do you live in someone? So I know that you're not supposed to put God in a box. I'm not putting God in a box. But for the example that I saw today, I've seen this example several times before. For the example, this makes so much sense. So today, the role of God will be played by a box, not putting God in a box. Let's get that straight. But when we understand what it means to be in God, that means I'm putting my trust in God. So young people, when we're worried about school and we're wondering about online classes and we're worried about what our grades are going to do, my grades are going to slip, and how's college going to start for me, and what's next year going to look like, and I'm going to be behind because I spent the last 8 weeks of school learning stuff at a slower pace than I would have if I was in a classroom, and I don't learn well when I have to teach myself, and I'm just so, listen, if my trust is in God, then my grades are also in God. And what about how much work I can get done? What about that I don't have a job and I've got time to pass and I don't have time to pass and there's so many things going on, so many things going wrong, so much potential for chaos and concern and all these things, and I just don't know what to do with my time or where to put my time, and I'm bored but I can't get motivated. Stop. I'm putting my time in God. What about my family? Like, my family's, I'm the dad of the house. I'm the mom of the house. I'm the primary caregiver of the house. Like, there's so much pressure on me to do this right now. It's different. I don't know what to do. And there's no books about this. And there's no self-help about this. And I don't know how to do it. And our jobs are cut back or gone. And there's so much to worry about. How do I protect my family? But God, I trust you. And by trusting you, then I put my family in the Lord, and my relationships, and the people I love, and the people I care about, and my romantic people. Man, there's so many things that I can't season them. I want to give them a hug, and I miss them so much, and it hurts. I'm just so worried about it. But I'm in the Lord. I put my trust in the Lord, so that means I can put the loved ones that I have, and my love life, and all those things that are so concerned for me, and my skills, and my abilities, and my talents, and the things that God has gifted me with. Like, those things are so crucial and so important. And like, what if I'm not working on them? What if I'm not getting better? What if somebody else is getting better? And I'm busy being a stay-at-home teacher mom right now, and there's so many things. Stop. When I put my trust in the Lord, I have to be willing to put everything into the Lord. And what about my health? So risky right now. So hard to make the right call. I need groceries, but I don't want to be out. I don't want to be exposed. I don't. So many things to worry about. When I put my trust in the Lord, I put my health in the Lord. But sometimes, here's what we do. We take things like, you know what, God, I trust you, but this is just too turn. God, I don't know if you saw the last update, but this is ridiculous. This is weird. This is, God, I'm gonna worry about this myself. And God, I trust you with the other stuff, but God, I'm not real sure that you understand, like, how much I like this girl. Like, I think maybe she might be the one, and I know, God, that I'm pushing the envelope a little bit. Maybe I'm trying to get in a hurry, God, but we take, and God's like, no, you can trust me. Paul says, hey, remind yourself all the good things that God's done, all the times that God has been there, all the experiences you've had with God. Remember the times that God showed up, and trust me. So here's the thing, and I've been in this school of thought, and I know people are still in this school of thought, and let me just give you this disclaimer. Like putting everything we are in God doesn't just say, okay, you got a free pass. It doesn't say, go pull up a rocking chair. You know, I lost my job, and I'm just going to sit here in my rocking chair, and I'm going to wait for that job to show up and knock on my door. You know, I mean, it's easy to put on some quarantine weight. And you know, I'm eating out a little bit of pain, I'm eating out a little boredom, I'm eating out a little frustration, and every day I do a 12-ounce curl and a universal remote curl. Like, I got my exercise in, I call it, no. Here's what I like to say. I will do what I can do, and I will trust God with everything that I can't. Listen, if you're looking for a job, if you're in a place where you need to get a job, we can't just sit back. In so many ways, and almost all the time, there's always a part that only God can do, but there's also a part that he asks us to do. Work on your resume. Clean it up a little bit. Get ready. Ask some people to maybe help you interview for the job. Prepare yourself to go into the interview the best that you can. Work on the things. Grow some more skills. Develop some more skills that makes your resume look even better. What are the things that you can do? And do those. And then the things that you can't do, you trust God with those. You know, I get into a conversation sometimes, and sometimes I lean on both sides of the fence, but when it comes to, like, our physical health, like, I can't just eat whatever I want and say, God, I trust you with my health. Like, I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to try to eat right. I'm going to try my best to exercise. I'm going to try to take care of my body. But I also know that there's going to be times where an illness comes or a sickness comes or something happens, and there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm going to do what I can to take care of my body, but I'm going to trust God with the things that I have no control over. I'm going to trust God to do the things that only he can do. God, there's so many areas of my life where I need to do what I can do, but then I got to be willing and joyfully say, God, I'm going to let you do what you can do. You know, with the turbulence, there was nothing that I can do to fix the turbulence in the plane. The pilot wasn't going to let me have access to the cabin for a minute, pull us up over the top of it, or go down below it. Like, I had nothing I can do. So I said, God, I'm trusting you 100% with this flight. And it just brought about peace into my life to understand there's nothing I can do about it. So why worry about it? I would challenge you with this. Some of you in your home, you need a box, a God box. Box of the Lord, the Jesus box. Be creative with it. I think you could have fun with it. Parents, I think you could have a lot of fun with this. And I would even say this. Get in a regular routine of when you feel worry and anxiety start to come up back in your life, get your little box, get your little card, get you a piece of paper, wad it up, and throw it in the box and give it to God. Some of you, you may have to do that on a couple times a day basis. Maybe for you, that's a one and done. But be an example to your family. Like, I understand that we're not supposed to worry, and right now I'm feeling worry. So, God, I need you to help me trust you with this. With my job, with finances, with our health, with our kids, with our safety. God, whatever it is, let that be a visible reminder to you in your house this week. Like, I need to trust God and stop worrying about this. I mean, what are we really going to accomplish with it? I mean, that's why Jesus was so clear to say, like, what have you ever added to your life by worrying? Oh, God, I'm worried about this. God, I need your peace for this. And then Paul says, and then go on and thank him. God, thank you for my health. God, thank you for my family. Thank you for this home that you've provided. God, thank you for technology that still enables me to learn while I can't be at school, or still enables me to see my grandma when I can't go over and be with her. God, thank you for the ability to connect with my friends. Thank you for the hope that you give us in Jesus. God, thank you for this great place where I get to live. Thank you for the church that gets to come into my home or into my phone every week. God, thank you for this. God, thank you. And watch how your perspective shifts from worry to trust. Peace. Is not normal. And I don't want to be normal. I want to have the peace of Jesus alive in me. A good friend of mine, Busy, had a real good illustration example. So talking about what peace is to her and how she's trusting God in times where it's just not easy. Let's take a listen.
Hi, my name is Busy Lucas, and I am an ER nurse here in Howard County. I started to feel a little bit anxious when the virus first hit Kokomo. I think at first my fear was more that I would become a carrier of it and that I would pass it on to my older patients. But once we started realizing that the virus was affecting younger and younger populations, my fear turned into that I was going to bring it home to my husband, or that I could contract it myself and that I would not be able to recover from it, or that he would get it and not be well after. We were hearing stories of hospitals that were running low on protective equipment, and at times we were running low, and so that instilled a lot of fear in me as well. Worrying and anxiety has been a long-standing struggle for me, and for me, the type of worry that I have is all-encompassing. Like, I start to worry about something, and my mind can kind of spiral out of control. I had a really hard time like shutting my brain off at night. I was dreaming about it. I was having a hard time like not thinking about just how bad it could be. I couldn't shut my brain off. Like, I just was allowing it to really take over. And because of that, like, I was, every shift that I worked, my anxiety grew more and more and more. For me, when I realized how bad my anxiety was, I started working on trying to learn how to take my thoughts captive. The first thing that I try to do is that I will pray about it. Something that I have learned is like that I can ask God to take my fear away and to change my train of thought, and to stop the spiral, the downward spiral that I'm in. And I feel like the answer that God always gives me when I pray that prayer is yes. And for me, I feel like when I do pray that prayer of God, please take away this fear that I'm having, please stop my train of thought and redirect it, I feel typically just like this overwhelming peace that kind of falls over me. I also feel like I have people around me who know my history of anxiety and worry and fear. And so those are people that I feel like I can go to and talk to about how I'm feeling. And because they know me so well, they're really good at redirecting the way that I'm thinking and helping me to kind of shut down the negative thoughts. One scripture that has brought me peace in this season is when Jesus talks about how he clothes the flowers of the field and provides for the birds of the sky, and how much more he cares about us and how much more he loves us. So if he loves the earth that much, and if he took that much time to provide for and care for this earth, then how much more is he going to be able to provide and care for me? Even though work is scary and it's so unpredictable right now, I just feel like he's walking through each shift with me and that I'm not alone in it. I feel like that is such a freeing thing for me, and it allows me to replace that anxiety and the fear with peace, that I know that God's in control and I know that he's got us. And so I don't have to be fearful and I don't have to worry about what is going to happen with this virus, because I trust that the God that we serve is a good father, and I feel like he replaces that fear with the peace of knowing that he's in control.
Jesus, the keeper of peace. peace is a promise he keeps.
We have control over our minds, and in the moments when we're feeling really overwhelmed, we get to actively choose to lean into the truth that God is good and God is in control. And I really feel like in this season of life, God wants us to lean on Him. He wants us to trust Him. And so I feel like if our hearts are wanting that peace that God promises us, I feel like His answer is going to be yes, and that He will help to take away the fear and the anxiety and the worry that you're having if we would just ask Him to do that for us.
Just like busy, you have an opportunity to write a peace over worry story right now. What if one of the greatest outcomes of this particular season going on in our world was people that are able, like me and you, to say, you know what, in this time where I had so many things to worry about, God showed up, Jesus did a work, and now I've got peace over worry when everybody else was worried. You know, Paul, still with opportunities to worry, he continues on and he starts to wrap up this letter. And he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he starts to thank the church in Philippi for all the support they've given, for the money and the prayers that they've offered up. And he thanks them, and then he moves on to this. He says, not that I was ever in need. I mean, he's literally in need while he writes this. But he says, no, I'm really not. And let me explain why. Well, currently he's chained up and waiting a sentencing. He says, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. He continues on. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret, here it is, the secret to living in every situation, where it is within a full stomach or empty, whether it's in plenty or little. He says, I've learned the secret. I know what the secret, and he starts to present it to us. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says, listen, you want to have peace in your life. He says, I've learned to be content. And I love that he phrased it and used the verb learned. He didn't say that I am content. He says, I've learned, meaning it's not a natural human characteristic. Like, we just aren't born content. Like, from little babies on, like, first words, mom, dad, mine, give it back. Like, we want more. Paul says, but God has taught me what it means to be content. Because I am in Christ, I've learned what it is to be content. So whether my stomach is full or I'm hungry, I'm content. Whether I need or I've got everything, I'm content. Whether the circumstances around me are driving everyone else to worry, I've learned to be content. So the second point Paul gives us is this: I'm learning to be content in Christ. No matter what your level is, I think there's probably another step we can take in learning to be content in Christ. And in chaos, it teaches us so many things. And this chaos is where we're learning, I don't need to worry about all this stuff. Why? Because I can be content in Christ. When I have hunger in my belly, I can be content. When I've got plenty, I can be content. When I've got job security or I've got no job, when I'm healthy or when I am sick, when all my kids are home and safe, or when my 17-year-old is driving the other three kids around, I can be content. My peace is found in Christ, and my contentment is found in Christ, because I can do all things in Christ. You see, God has changed my perspective. God has changed the way I see the rest of the world, the way I see things that I could worry about, the way I see opportunities to get concerned and with anxiety, because I've seen God's goodness and I've heard God's voice and I've experienced God's presence and I know God's faithfulness and I've encountered His love and I've rested in His forgiveness and I know that I don't have to worry because I trust in the Lord. I trust in who He is. I trust in His power. I trust in His promises. And I don't have to worry, because when I live in the Lord, I trust in the Lord. And my love is in the Lord. And the people I love are now in the Lord. And my family and our safety and our security is in the Lord. And my grades and my future and my job, it's in the Lord. And the time that I have left on this earth, it's in the Lord. And my health, I'm going to do my best. But I'm also going to put my trust in the Lord. I trust in my God. I trust in who He is and what He has done. And I thank Him on a continual basis for everything that He has done. And sometimes I thank Him from what I believe He's going to do. My ability is not to control what's going on. And if my ability is not to control, then my job is not to control. And if I don't have to control, I don't need to worry about trying to control. So I can live in peace. And I can walk peace. And I could be at peace. A peace that I just can't explain. A peace that I don't always understand. Because my peace isn't in my circumstances. My peace is in Jesus. And my peace in the Lord will guard my mind and guard my heart and exceed everything that I know. Peace that isn't normal. That's what I want. God, I thank you for the sacrifices that you made to bring peace to me. God, not just in this time, not just in this season of life, God, but in all throughout my years of life, God, you have been the anchor of peace in times where I could have been in chaos and disarray and concern and frustrated and just worried. God, you have just been my peace. And God, I know as I continue to learn my contentment in you, God, you will continue to pour out your peace in ways that I just can't understand. God, my prayer today is specifically for the people that are worried, that are concerned, that are experiencing anxiety like never before, that are not adjusting to this new normal and whatever this is and trying to understand. God, remind them that their hope is not in their circumstance, that their peace does not come from what's happening to them or around them. Their peace comes from what's happening in them because Jesus is at work in my life through his Spirit. God, I thank you for the comfort that you bring. I thank you for the hope that you bring. I thank you for the love and the forgiveness. And God, there's so many good things that you bring in our life that pushes worry out and blesses us with your peace. God, my prayer is for the person who's just experiencing this worry and they think that they're just at wit's end. God, remind them who they are in you. God, my prayer is for the person who doesn't know you yet and has lived this life expecting worry to just be normal. God, show them who you are and bring peace into their life so that they can know you and walk in your grace and in your goodness for eternity. God, if it's the believer who needs to make a phone call this week and you prompted our hearts with someone who's worried, you prompted our hearts with someone who's feeling anxiety, God, remind us, prompt us, push us, encourage us to pick up the phone and call them, to go stand on their sidewalk and yell into their home. God, to do whatever it is that we need to do to show your love to people who are worried. God, let's be the people that aren't normal, but the people at peace. Jesus, thank you for that. It's in your name we pray.